Previously on the Simply Human podcast.
It's just best if you don't ask any questions because we don't really have any answers for you here. Like why we started doing this, what the genesis of this was. But somehow a few years ago, Mark and I started trying to guess. Oh my God,
Jason.
He will not leave me alone.
Is it Jason?
Yes. Hang on. He's calling my other phone now. He's now calling two phones.
What if he's hanging off of a cliff and needs you to come rescue him?
I am busy. Stop calling me right now. Okay.
It's episode 232 of the Simple Human Podcast with your hosts, Mark and Rick. Two human beings being human. Our goal is to help you understand how humans are designed to eat, sleep, move, and enjoy. Now you can start living more like a human today. On today's show, Rick, I'm so excited. You know who's up.
I do.
Kate.
We haven't talked to her in a million years.
It's been at least two years.
Hold on. We were texting, and I looked up, and I told her. Hold on. Here we go. Maybe I didn't tell her. I thought I texted her like, hey, it's been 2 years. I think it's been 2 years since we had her on. So this is probably like her seventh appearance, maybe.
Oh, yeah. She's definitely setting the, she's wearing the seven-time jacket.
She's
from,
the
SNL.
The Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Who else is Steve Martin, Tom Hanks, Alec Baldwin? Are those the most that have done it?
It's got to be, yeah.
How are you, Rick?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's been, we didn't record last week.
Last week, yeah.
So it feels like, and I need to get some shows edited.
Had some negative viewer feedback, Mark.
Who?
People who like the YouTube show, and they're like, oh, the YouTube show's not on. I got to listen to this crummy podcast.
I need to get a better computer. It takes me so long because it takes so long to edit in the video on this stupid 3-year-old Mac. I have a very short story and then a one up this topic that I want you to talk about.
Oh, we haven't done
about.
One up this in a very, very long time.
So, as is my custom, sorry. Every year I do this, the crazy VBS thing. You know, it's like this whole build up. It's this horrible.
For people who are not in the cult, VBS means Vacation Bible School. It's a bit that churches will do for like a week or two during the middle of the summer, fun kids activities and stuff like that.
So we do this whole big production, and I've been Joseph, and I've been King Nebuchadnezzar, and it's like, you know, I'm the
spell Nebuchadnezzar,
NBRTS. I'm the idiot that'll just,
there's a niner in there,
act like gone from walkie talkie. So like they give me the parts of like the crazy person because I'm the only moron.
Well, you're the guy who will go up there with reckless abandon and really ham it up.
Right. Yes. And
we all know you. So
yeah, it's a, no,
if it was me, I would do the same
big
thing.
Big surprise. So. Yeah. So this year, obviously with social distancing, it's like, what are we going to do? So we did a very small cast and we recorded three like separate shows over the past 2 days. So we recorded from like 4 p.m. until like midnight. I got home this morning at like 1 a.m. from like recording out way south of town at this like event center place with like trees and stuff.
Trees, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Place that had trees.
Yeah.
Had to go south of town for those.
We had to drive like 30 minutes to find a tree. And so I was driving home Monday night at about midnight on Winter's Freeway right by Red Lobster. So, right? Going north on Winter's Freeway, almost right.
It's funny that, like, my geography is tied to
Red Lobster
is in general vicinity.
Oh, we only have 6 minutes before Kate hops on. Okay. I'm driving along. This is my dad whenever he's talking about, I was just driving along. This is his motion that he does. I was just driving along. Like, he's milking two
cows.
Like,
he drives like this?
On either side of him. I know. This is what he does. He just goes, he stands there, and he's like, yeah, just. It's like, that's what I promise. That's what he does. Okay. So, man, I have really two really funny things I need to tell you about my parents after we're done.
I can't wait.
It's great. You won't believe it. So I'm driving up and there's like cars. If I wasn't paying close attention, I would have just run right into this car that had run into the guardrail and it was smashed to pieces. All the airbags out, like, serious deal. There's two cars in front of me that had already stopped. I stopped and called 911 figuring like, well, surely like these other cars have already called. Like this didn't like just happen like just now. Maybe like within a minute. So I call 911 and I'm like, he's like, what's your emergency? I was like, I assume you've heard about the Winters Freeway wreck. And he was like, no, what you got? Like, please tell me the emergency. There's someone's life on the line here, moron. So I tell him right where we were, everything. So that got me thinking. So this one-up story is, tell about a time you witnessed a crime. So first responder, you're a, you know.
Not fair for me to play this one.
Well,
but, okay.
but it's like either a crazy wreck or like, did you ever see someone? Like someone was like doing something like right in front of you. You're like, really? Does he know we're sitting right here? Like I just got to. Well, do you have a story like that?
I do actually have several stories like that. You want me to go first or you?
Oh, I'm not going. We only have 4 minutes.
Oh, you just want
so
me to
you
do it. Okay.
Go, yeah.
So when I worked in an agency in the Oklahoma City area.
Bragger.
This has been several years ago. Yes, Bragger. And Mark disappeared. There was this traffic light that was notorious for just being red for like a crazy long amount of time. Like just a really, like 3 solid minutes.
I know where this is going.
And I was pulled up. I was working. I was pulled up at the stoplight. And there was a lady who pulled up right next to me. And we're both waiting, and I know it's going to take forever. And I guess this lady just got tired of waiting and just
drove
through.
She was
and I was
sick.
Like, huh. And somebody should do something about that. Oh, shoot, I'm a policeman. I got to do something. So I turned my lights on, and I pulled her over, and I was like,
what's
hey,
that? Did you see me?
Listen, I know I'm a reasonable person. I know that light is red for a really long time, but, like, I'm like right next to you. Like, I mean, I don't even know if I wrote her a ticket.
Yeah.
Because it was so
ridiculous. So just bold. Yeah. So here's
one more very short one. Very short one.
Okay.
One time still in that same city, I was stationary in a parking lot, checking speed on a street.
Bragging
the speed limit
was
30 and people would routinely do like way faster. So
like 34.
I was sitting there and it was very, very late at night. It was probably my last traffic stop.
You were watching a hockey game.
No, I was actually working. That started happening way later in my career. But I see this car turn onto the street. He's coming towards me and I look at my radar and it goes, you know, 25, 35, 47. 52,
like
65,
as he's going away from 70. You?
Like, no, he's going towards me.
Jeez.
And he's accelerating at like an exceptional speed. And I'm like,
somebody should do something.
It's like that scene from like Great Balls of Fire where the cop is sitting in the cop car eating the ice cream cone and he drives fast and he gets ice cream all over himself. I like get in and stop him and he's driving this like really soup. I don't know much about cars, but the super souped up like Mustang, like Shelby Cobra. And I get up there, and it's like a guy, like, in his 50s, and he has this kind of smirk on his face, and he's like, good evening, officer. What seems to be the trouble? And I was like, I'm not really sure where to begin. And he's like, well, I mean, do I have a taillight out? Do I have a headlight out? And he's just very jolly about it. And I was like, now you were doing, like, warp 2. And he was like,
they've gone to plaid?
He's like, listen, I borrowed this car from a friend of mine. It goes really fast. I didn't think there would be anybody on here. I just wanted to let it go and see what it would do. You got me. And I was like, well, you know what? There's nobody around, so don't tell anybody I did this. I'll see you later.
So, okay. It's 2 in the morning. You're at like a, let's say you're in a downtown area, like a downtown Abilene, not a downtown Dallas or Miami.
Downtown
like,
Abilene.
Where it's like,
Jiminy.
It's like dead.
Dead. Lights blinking red.
And there's lights like every block.
Yeah.
So it's like, boom, boom, it's very safe. And there's a red light. And you go on through.
Hey, listen.
Is that a big deal?
If a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, I'm here to tell you it does not make a sound. So if you do that, no harm, no foul.
Let's up the
and
ante.
I probably shouldn't be saying this. I probably should be telling you, you should always remain stopped at a complete stop at a red light. But like, I have done the same thing. For sure. Done the same thing. One time when I was working midnights, I was so tired and I came up on a red light that was blinking and I stopped waiting for it to turn green for like 10 minutes. And then I was like, oh, shoot. So I pull up and like 150 feet later, there's a stop sign and I stopped at the stop sign waiting for the stop sign to turn green.
You're like, I need to go home.
I need to go home now. It's time to go home.
Oh, that's funny. Then did you pick up a guy who had just eaten an entire jar of pickled okra?
That was the worst ride-along ever. Mark did a ride-along with me. You've done a couple of them.
We've told this. I did, too.
But he didn't run, and he ate like a whole jar of pickled okra before
That's all I had eaten the entire day before I got in this police car at 8 o'clock
He got
at
in the
night.
Car, and like within 10 seconds, I was like, God, what is that smell? And it was Mark.
Kate.
Team, yeah, it's good to see you guys.
Oh my gosh, it has been forever.
Look at her.
I actually have never seen Rick.
What? I am just as beautiful as everyone thinks that I'm supposed to be.
Even better, in my opinion.
Oh, well.
How sweet. Okay, when was the Paleo FX that we recorded live? That's been
2015.
Like, that's been 5 years, Kate.
Can you believe it?
I can't, really.
I can't. So, okay, I told Kate, she's like, what are we going to talk about? And I was like, whatever we want.
Stuff.
So let's talk about what you've been doing during the pandemic. Where were you when the pandemic started? Tell me your pandemic story.
Would love to.
Okay.
So I'm still in Utah, still in Salt Lake City. And so I was here when everything kind of, we were watching it since January.
Yeah. Right, something's going on. But it was a Wednesday, so where were you, like, when the NBA canceled?
There was, like, an official day in which, like, this is when the pandemic starts.
So, Wednesday, when Tom Hanks got it, and they canceled the NBA.
I was at home working here in this apartment, and had already kind of curtailed all my activities, so I was just at home doing pretty much the thing I ended up doing for the next 70-something days after that. And still to this day, not much different, but, that I think it was around 70 days. Cause and that day when things kind of dropped, I started this, daily email series and was like, hey, anyone who wants to get like one thing I'm doing every day to help my health and well being, sign up at this link and whatever.
Like day one, brown liquid
for breakfast. Yes. And so it was around 70-something days that I ended up doing that. Because around the time when everyone started opening again, whatever you want to call it, I was like, oh, wait, this might need to transition because not everybody's in it together
time,
anymore.
Right.
It's starting to break apart. But it was a pretty, honestly, kind of a lovely routine of like, I get up, I do my work,
I go on
a walk, I cook. Of course, I worry and I am concerned and I feel all the things, but having that, actually, I was like, the greatest work project I've probably done in a while was to do that email series because it kept me anchored to focusing on like one thing.
Yeah.
One thing every day because I got to tell people what I did.
Right. The accountability factor. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Did you find it harder? I mean, a lot of people were like, there were so many funny, like before and afters of like these like super muscled up guys. And then it would show them like, they were like so fat. Like it's like, if it's pandemic diet, like some people need like the structure of like a job and da 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 da. And that goes away. And then all the wheels fall off. I would imagine that you were not like that. I don't want to speculate, but what were you able to like hang in there?
Yeah. I'm well suited for pandemics. That's terrible.
Time has finally come.
Put that on a throw pillow.
That's what the Unbreakable is all about, though, right? Like being able to look at any environment and go, how do I make the most of this? And how do I use my explorer's mindset, which is all throughout the Unbreakable body, to go, okay, how can I look at this with curiosity and with a willingness to explore? And actually, my guy Josh had said that. He's like, you're like already equipped to be like, oh, here's how we could turn this into a workout for the day, or here's how we could incorporate something healthy in the day. He's like, normal people aren't like that. And I was like, I know, that's why I exist, so I can tell them about all the neat things, and then they can do it for themselves.
Can I tell you two ways that I was prepared?
He's been jarring his own urine for months and months and months.
You're not far off.
Oh, well, I was joking.
So one, I have a home gym. So gym's closed. So what?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, and pun intended, I have a bidet. I don't need toilet paper.
You know, I've been making fun of you for that for years. And when all the toilet paper shortage happened, I was like, "Yeah, I guess Mark, point Mark."
Finally.
It's bound to pay off eventually.
Yeah. So are you, I found a lot of, I've always been, well, I guess in the last, you know, since Simply Human started, like the Stoic philosophers, the Stoic mindset, Ryan Holiday had like the, he did like a Stoic series and all that kind of stuff. Do you read any of that? Do you look at any of that stuff, the Stoicism stuff?
You know, if people like Tim Ferriss and Ryan Holiday happen to like pass through my interweb
Instagram
space,
feed,
I catch it. And I think that's great. But I'm not anti at all.
Right.
I definitely, if we're talking leaning towards certain things, Taoism and Buddhism is, you know, kind of my jam. So folks like Tara Brach who teach on that, the old teachings of Alan Watts and people like that. I find that to be an interesting place to exist, especially because, or maybe chicken or egg, I'm not sure which came first, but I gravitate towards that, but also it's very useful for body stuff where you live in this body. And like I always talk about, or at least I thought I did, but then people are like, oh yeah, no, I haven't heard about that in a while. The whole point is to create a body you love to live in. And that might mean that you don't change something about your body because you're just stuck with it. Maybe it was a catastrophic accident or something like that. But you can influence your mind and how you view the world and how you view your day and your life and all these things. And so I think all of the philosophies probably encompass that. But with Taoism and Buddhism, I always pick up on that central tenet of like presence and acceptance of what is.
Yeah.
And I think that's really helpful for me.
Yeah. Do you, okay, Rick, I don't know if we haven't, I don't know if you've talked about this. I know a lot of doctors. I could just tell Rick's reaction. I know a lot of medical professionals. I'm sure Rick does too. Are y'all, when you talk to medical professionals, every medical professional that I've talked to swears that we've already all had this. Have y'all heard this?
What, COVID?
Yeah, like, COVID is already, we've already all had it. Have you heard this?
Like, we've had it now?
No,
like,
no, no.
Within
like
the last 100 days or just at the course of our life?
No, like October, November, like we already were all exposed to it because I can't tell you people I've talked to that were like, I had like flu-like symptoms in the fall. It wasn't strep. It wasn't flu. My whole family got really sick. We couldn't breathe. We were coughing and then we were better. None of y'all have heard this?
I mean, I don't have power on doctors, but.
I doubt that it's a theory out there.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
I can't keep track.
Right.
Of how
the theories.
Yeah.
Armchair theories are. No, seriously. Even with professionals where they're like, from my professional viewpoint, X, Y, Z, I was about to say it reminds me of the fitness industry, but the medical profession in no way reminds me of the fitness industry. But
there are people with names in the industry. That's one similarity.
Parallels are there where like, depending on the lens you're looking through, you think body weight training is the best. Or depending on the lens you're looking through, you think ketosis is the best.
Right.
And it might be accurate for the lens you're looking through. Hmm. Where that differs, of course, is when we get into like the science of things, right? And like the data. But even that, you can look at the data and be like, wow, for this person or that situation or whatever. I'm mostly fascinated. Like I always hope I live a long life, but I really, really hope I live a long life so that I can be an old person one day and be like, cool, all you kids who are like one right now and you're going to do your college thesis on everything that's going on right now and what led to it and what the outcomes were and what the right actions were. I want to read those papers so bad.
I know.
To have that happen.
I've said that and I've used the time frame 10 years, but it's going to be longer than that. It's like in 10 years, they're going to be writing, somebody's going to write a book about why the toilet paper ran out. Why was toilet paper the thing that was gone? What happened? There's going to be some butterfly effect thing that we unveil or something. I'm so interested to read those in the future.
Yeah, me too. And also, I was going to tell you, I forgot. The most exciting thing that happened during the pandemic.
Okay, this is exciting.
Proper time when everyone was staying home was we had an earthquake. We had a 5.7 earthquake here in Salt Lake. My first earthquake. So I was making coffee. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning,
and I
heard a rumbling. Like when a kid is stomping around upstairs, but it was like really loud and it was like coming this way towards me. And I was like, and then I looked to my right over here. And like, then I realized, oh my God, this is an earthquake because everything's going like this.
Yeah.
And I'm going, and I'm from the Midwest, as you all remember. And so what I did was ran to the bathroom to get in the bathtub. And then I remembered that's tornadoes, not earthquakes.
It's the wrong protocol.
I literally was running around going, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Oh my God, I don't know what to do. And I was home by myself, so I couldn't ask anyone. And so that happened the first week or so. So we were in the pandemic. So between that plus just Utah being who Utah is, we here, where all that panic buying was happening, whatever amount of panic buying y'all did, Utah
did 20 times extra, more.
We had so much more panic buying here because whether it's for, again, let's look on the in the reports 20 years from now, like, was it the fact that we have Mormons here who save a lot of stuff? Was it because we have bigger families? Because we have, I don't know what, because we just had an earthquake, but we had like bare shelves for so long because everybody was panic buying.
Gosh. Wow. I didn't. I had an earthquake when I lived in Oklahoma, and it's the same, like this, how you can, you hear it and you can feel it coming towards you is the weirdest feeling ever. I was laying on the couch and I've got a funny picture of it somewhere. Someone was quoted
earthquake?
On the news as they thought that it sounded like a donkey scratching themselves on the edge of their trailer house.
That was on the, news?
Yeah, I got to find it. I'll send it to you. But I was laying on the couch, and you can, and it sounds like everyone always says a tornado or an earthquake sounds like a freight train. Well, it sounded like a freight train, but like, but you could physically feel it coming, like a wave coming towards you. And it didn't like shake everything laterally, but you could literally feel the whole house like a huge wave like go through the house. And then it just passed through and was gone. And I was like, what in the world? I didn't know we were like in the earthquake zone.
Yeah. Okay.
And,
Rick,
it was like a five something.
That was amazing.
Rick, you may not believe this, but there's a little town called Snyder that Rick is familiar with.
I am familiar. The Snyder
there
Tigers.
Have been very good. There have been earthquakes up in that area because of all the fracking.
Well, we have earthquakes in my area, like around like where I work, just outside of Dallas. We have earthquakes all the time. I've never felt a single one of them,
but they'll register
the oil and gas stuff. And they're constant. Like every once in a while, like somebody at work will be like, hey, you'll feel that. And they're small. And I've never physically felt them. They're all like three or fours.
Your work
like,
boots have the vibrator in them. So you're always just
the what?
The vibrators in your shoes.
Oh, okay. Would you want to show us how that works?
No.
I mean, where it's
Thank
a YouTube
you.
Show now, so you can...
Dang it.
Or show us how you're driving.
I will say, though, it's afterwards. You talk about, like, a real understanding of nervous system, readiness, tolerance, intolerance, dysfunction, all of that, because everything made me jump for a while, and I was constantly certain that I was feeling an aftershock, and sometimes I was, and I was like, I don't like this, make it stop, because it would be like one little like thing, and then it would be gone, and you're like,
so did anything break in your house? Did anything fall off of anything or crash?
No,
around?
Thankfully it didn't. The light swung. That was about it. But I did lose a number of items for several weeks afterwards because apparently Earthquake Kate runs around grabbing things and putting them into a backpack
and then doesn't remember.
Run, and then for weeks is going, where is this thing? Did you put that thing somewhere?
And then you find this backpack.
I don't normally put it. And then I'd be like going through the backpack and go, oh, Earthquake Kate packed it. Sorry.
Earthquake Kate. So you know they call it.
We need to have Earthquake Kate on at some point.
Just running,
talk about
back and forth
things.
Do you know what that bag is called? It's called
I've got my 72-hour bag all packed up now.
It's called a good bag. Rick, did you know this?
Good bag. Why?
G O O D. Get out of Dodge.
Or a bug out bag.
I've always heard it called a go bag. That's the police industry term, just a grab and go, like whatever you need essentials wise.
Speaking of that, Kate.
Okay.
Tell us about a time you witnessed a crime.
A crime?
Yeah.
So we have this thing, it's kind of like it's a card game for parties called One Up This. It's terrific.
Wow.
We should put a link on there so people can buy it. But like, it's got it's kind of like Cards Against Humanity, and that like everybody votes on like the best story. But that's the card that we pulled for like kind of our crosstalk is tell us a story. And
have
all
you ever
incriminate myself or anyone else?
Well, it's like a stranger. I guess you witnessed
one time robbing this bank, right?
Yeah. I witnessed myself. Robbie.
I shot like 11 people, yeah. And
have you ever
got away?
Like,
here I am.
Have you ever been like standing? Like a good example is like, have you ever been at a red light and then someone just like runs a red light? That's technically witnessing.
Okay, I got one for you. Okay. I witnessed it with my ears.
Okay, that counts.
Okay.
So I was brought my computer down. I was working at my guy's shop and was just working on the computer. It was like Saturday night.
How long ago was this? Or is this recent?
What?
When was this? Is this recent or is this?
No, this was 2019, I believe.
Okay, so last year sometime.
You know what? Yeah. Time is.
Who knows?
Yeah. We don't even know where we are right now.
And I heard several like banging, knocking sounds and just didn't really, but they were like in succession. But I didn't really think much of it because why would I know what gunfire is? I mean, at that point, I hadn't shot guns very much yet.
At that point. That means she's been shooting guns.
At that point.
You talk about that.
But I heard like several noises in quick succession. And then I got a text message from my guy and he's like, move away from the window now. You need to like move to the back of the shop. And I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Earthquake Kate!
So I put everything in a backpack.
Right. So he has a retail shop and some customers had run in with a woman had run in with her children. The husband was in the shop and she worked something in law or something like that. And was like, somebody just fired a gun out there, lock the door. We need to move into the back. And so that's when he texted me and it was like move into the back. And then I was like, was that what I heard? Were those gunshots? Like what? And apparently there had been a breaking and entering like 50 yards away from the building.
What?
And, the breaking and entering people had the police on them and the police were like, stop. And the guy apparently was like, I'm going to go for it. And like, unfortunately hit the police officer and there was shots exchanged.
And you were like right there.
And we were 50 yards away.
Dang.
Thank God I was inside. But then the one guy in the car that was trying to get away was killed with the shots. And the other guy took off and ran. So our entire street got shut down for hours. And we were barricaded in this retail shop. And they were like, you're not leaving until we like, you know, canvas the area and do the whole thing. So that's probably.
That's a good one.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you win.
Yeah.
You win the point.
You got the point on that one. Yeah.
My story was how I saw a lady run a red light one time.
Well, so. That's also exciting and it's small and, you know, wonderful. Red lights are scary though, because when people run red lights and you're seeing it happen, you're like, there's like nothing you can do about it. And they just go and you're like,
and you don't know if they're just like, oh, I'm not waiting, or if they're like an old lady that doesn't realize that it's a red light. Like,
or they're looking at their phone, like I've seen people do, and I'm like, no.
And you're just like, start honking. Wait, stop! You're committing
a
crime.
Going the wrong way.
People don't honk their horn very much, so it's an odd thing. You like don't honk really here,
it
so
startles
I would have to like yell at them.
Roll your window down.
You know.
Mine would have been at a Nike factory store. Bragging one. And I'm like,
I went to an outlet store one time.
I'm standing there with like all my outlet factory bags, you know, shopping on our anniversary trip, as is our custom. And this dude just like ran through the thing. And remember, we talked about this, Rick, because I like for a split second, I was like, I had like a 4 second window of I could drop my stuff and I could go get that guy. I could run
free,
him down.
Yep. I've seen that happen before.
But he could have. What if he had a gun? Or what if the people that he had jumped into his car, they had a gun, and he turned around
that
and stabs me or something? Like,
but you do get one free legal pass for an ass kicking. You get to chase that guy down and just beat his ass.
Really?
You won't go to jail. I promise. The same exact thing happened once at a Lowe's. A guy tried to steal a whole bunch of stuff from Lowe's, and this guy who played like college football saw him and he chased him down in the parking lot and tackled him and beat the crap out of him. And we get there and he's like, yeah, I just tackled him. And I know he was kind of fighting back. I'm like, nah, don't worry about it, buddy. It's all right. We're good. forget all that other stuff.
While I'm being taken away in handcuffs, I'm like, call Rick. Rick said it was fine.
Do this.
Oh gosh, my headphones. Oh, that was fun. Okay, Kate, I want to ask you this. We've been asking people this. I've had this conversation, not just on the podcast, but in my own life. What is something like that has happened during the pandemic? A new thing, whether it's a community habit or a habit that you have started. That like there's like here's an example. The drive-by birthday parties. Have you seen this for like the kids?
Mm-hmm.
I want that to just be the new kid birthday party. Right.
There's no bigger whip in the whole world than a little kid's birthday party. It is the worst.
You got to go.
Even if it's your kid. Even if it's your kid, it sucks.
Yeah. No, I could imagine. I don't have kids, but yeah.
So something like that. What is something that you want to like keep going on once everything is back to like normal?
I have one for you. I mean, I don't know that I want it to keep going on, but I do in that like kind of sixth sense. So a thing that my friends started doing was out of the blue FaceTiming me when they're doing drinks at 4:30 and I'm like, I'm working. I'm still working. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And they like out of the blue, like the phone rings, and that's the other weird thing, like the phone rings, and I'm all like, should I answer it?
What is this?
And it's FaceTime. And so, of course, I answer it. And the first few times, I didn't realize what was going on. And then I'm like, oh, I'm hip to this now. But they, like, will FaceTime you and try to get you to do a shot with them. And I'm like, I'm working.
It's 4:30.
What are you doing? But the random FaceTiming, I think, is kind of adorable in small, slightly irritating, but still loving kind of ways. So that's kind of fun. And if it's a reason to like connect, I think that's worth it. Even if you're slightly irritated that you're like, I'm not drinking. I'm like trying to write a book.
Right. Okay? I'm or doing like, something.
Hey, listen, do some drinking and it'll be an interesting book. It'll be very charming. It will know how to dance.
Drinking and Day Drinking by Earthquake Caves.
I mean, that would probably be a bestseller.
Yeah, I think the Zoom calling, like especially with like family, doing like we play games and stuff on Zoom now, and that's like something that it's like
a lot of it has maybe dropped off though, and like as this thing has dragged on, because I know like there was a whole lot of phone calls and a whole lot of FaceTiming like the first like month or so, like everybody checking on each other, and I think now that we're all kind of getting adjusted to it, there's a lot less random like phone calls. The first one I got like when it happened, like you know we'd been. And for me, there wasn't a big change. I'm still going to the office. Like it wasn't like I didn't have a lot different for my life, but like my phone rang and I was like, what is this? What's happening? Someone's
heard
calling
that.
Me on the phone. Who, what is this?
I'm That's like, not my texting ding.
So why do you guys think Hello? That is? Why do you, cause everything was like all the rage at the beginning. And I have a theory, but like, why do you guys think it's dropped off as we've, because we're not out of this, but like it's different now and it's not like what it was in March and April, you know?
Right.
But it's not over anytime soon, probably. Right. So like, why do you guys think it dropped off?
I think a lot of it, at least around here in Texas, is there's this tendency for people to like, you know, do the ostrich, like the head in the sand thing and like pretend like there's nothing wrong. Excuse me. Like if you go to the grocery store now, like, one out of every 50 people has a mask, even though we're experiencing like, you know, exponential rise in cases every day. They're just like, no, everything is okay. So I think people are trying to get back to what they thought was normal before. I don't know. Like it's very odd.
Especially in Texas. It's like, all right, we're done with this.
Yeah.
And then they're just back to normal. And like, hey, we had record number today. Like, ah, to hell with
every,
your record
We have
numbers.
A record number every single day now. I saw a hilarious chart of like all of like the European countries and like the U.S. and like, you know, the peak. And then they all started dipping down. And the U.S. didn't dip down. The U.S. got to their peak and went like we're ready for liftoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
what do you think?
I think there's a little bit of that. Like there's just like people are just so sick of being told what to do, especially around here. And there was one other thing I was going to say about what like something that I've stopped seeing, especially like in like the really small towns, because Abilene is like a midsize. When you go to like smaller than Abilene, I mean, now you're really getting into the don't tell me how to live.
Government not going to tell me I got to wear a mask.
It's like, you know, like there was a time
I'll just
there,
shoot them germs with my six shooters. Pow, 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 pow.
There was a time like in Dallas where if you weren't wearing a mask, you were getting the dirty looks, right? Like, what are you doing? You know,
it was a very, very brief time. But yes, there was a time where everyone's like, what's the matter with you? But like, why are you not wearing a mask?
It was the opposite in like the small towns around here. Like if you were I'd be the one person like wearing a mask and I'd be getting like the, you're just buying into the liberal media.
5G, man. It's all about 5G. Right. It's not real germs,
anyway,
man.
Right, right. Anyway. Well, the thing, I heard a story. Rick, you might have listened to this. The salon owners who knew they had COVID but wore masks.
Yeah, I heard this morning.
No one got sick. And it's like, the mask probably are doing something, maybe.
Yeah, I was on the radio here in Dallas today. Yeah. Like, there's two salon owners who continued to take customers. They both knew that they were positive for COVID, but they wore masks and they didn't transmit it to anybody. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, if all we will all do for like two solid months is just wear a mask anytime you leave the house, no matter what, we're going to be able to have regular sports. We're going to be able to do things. We're going to be able to like go on and live our lives again. Just put it on.
Will this work?
I did see Rex Chapman did tweet a video of a guy who was at a slot machine with his mask on. And then he like pulled the mask to the corner and slid his cigarette in and had his cigarette hanging out of the mask. And I was like, he was like, man, Vegas. It's like, that is not Vegas. That is absolutely an Oklahoma casino. That is 100%.
Wow.
That's the Windstar. Yeah.
No. The Windstar is the classy Oklahoma casino. Is it? There's like 200 casinos in Oklahoma that are all like as big as my house and have like 15 slot machines in it.
Oh, man.
So it's definitely
did you binge watch any shows during the pandemic? Tiger King?
Well, hang on. We got to hear Kate's theory about
crud.
Yeah. I forgot. What's your theory?
She even forgot.
My theory is twofold. And they all wrap into the same thing. The novelty of anything wears off after a period of time. Anyone who's dieted or exercised knows that.
Right.
And also, unfortunately, or fortunately, both sides of it are true, we've built a world where it's very easy to be comfortable. And it may not be comfortable because you may not like something about like how you don't feel energized or whatever, but like Netflix is easy. Food is readily accessible. For most people, life is, even if you're on the lower end of the yearly income bracket, life isn't extraordinarily hard. Like if you had to live in the mountains with nothing,
you can stay inside all day. Yeah.
You can stay in climate controlled inside all day long. And if I'm too hot in here, I can flip the air on and it cools off instantaneously. And this is the thing that I think everybody has to figure out for themselves, like politics aside, you know, Republican, Democrat aside, economics aside, like all of that aside, whatever we need to do, and we're going to have lots of them in life. This just happens to be a big one that the whole world has to deal with. Like, you have to figure out what motivates you to keep going after you're just tired of it, you know, and even maybe going along with something and you're like, I don't care. I'm not in that risk group, or I'm not, I don't like the economic impacts of this or whatever, whatever we all decide we're going to do. You like have to be figuring out what lets you keep going after you're like, but it's boring and I don't like it. And it's uncomfortable. And I swear to you, like being outdoors has probably taught me more of that. I mean, fitness teaches you that too. If you stick with it long enough, you learn to get uncomfortable and be comfortable with that. But like being outside where I'm like, I just want more water, but we're running low, or I don't really want to go up this hill, but we have to, or it's stuff that I can't, mosquitoes, things that I can't control. And I have to like figure that out.
Right.
So, you know, that's my theory on it. It's hard to stay disciplined.
We talk about this a lot on the show. And I harp on this. My kids are probably sick of me talking about this. It's like our grandparents, great-grandparents didn't have to seek out ways to be uncomfortable and to suffer, because you don't grow. Nothing grows. Muscles, your finances, right? Everything doesn't grow without a little bit of sacrifice or suffering, the hormesis, the hormetic effect, all that kind of stuff. So now it's like we live in a society where you have to be intentional about like suffering is such a kind of a loaded word. I don't mean like, I don't know.
Like you, the guy from what's the movie, the Tom Hanks movie about like the coded books, like the Da Vinci Code, the guy who's whipping himself.
Right.
Like, it didn't have to be that.
But it's like you need, like, we're designed to be exposed to variation in temperatures, water temperature, air temperature, mood, happy, really sad. Like, and we try to like stabilize all those things, and that is not a good way. Your brain needs to be, you know, like just exposed to all these different things. Like the whole, mindfulness, right? It's like, your mind wanders, you bring it back, right? Homeostasis, you get hot, your body like trying to get back to 98.6 or whatever the new degree is. I think there's a new degree now, right? Like, or if you're cold, trying to warm yourself up, like all those things are good things for you. Like, you should fast. You should eat a lot of food. Like, there's just all sorts of things. And I think people that are just trying to look for the easy way out, which is hard because that's what your brain is telling you to do, is to like conserve energy. And so it's like this short circuiting because we've created all this modernity around us, which is what this is all about.
So I've always loved what you guys are all about. And it's true. And it's not like a, we're all in it together. We've created the beauty of things like Netflix, like you were just asking about, and the fun of treats and stuff, you know, cool stuff. But at the same time, it's a lot like what, you know, Rob Wolf and all those guys were always talking about way back in the day about like the hyper palatability of food is setting it up so that it's almost impossible for you to meet your goal.
Right.
And food goal and stuff like that. And kind of life is the same way. And I want to be just as comfortable as anybody else.
Right.
But
it's like, okay, so the guy that created the Spartan races, Joe DeSena, has been on the show a couple times. Mm-hmm. He's got this practice. I don't know if he does it every day, but he'll like carry around a 53-pound kettlebell wherever he goes, like, because like just creating discomfort, right? Because what happens when you get to where you're going, you put the kettlebell down, right? You get this like, you know, like he's creating those moments, like yin and yang kind of moments. So anyway, we talk
how to do that. And like, well, to go back to the philosophy stuff, like Alan Watts always said, like, you can't have a sunny side of the mountain without having a shady side of the mountain. Right. You have to have both sides. And I'll tell you, I went on my first hunts last year, and first day was 5 days in the middle of August. It was blazing hot. Ugh. And of course you're in long everything because brush and bugs and scrapey things and all that.
Earthquakes.
You know, no showering for 5 days, and you're eating, you know, crappy camp meals that are like rehydrated. They're paleo, you know, and they're healthier, but you're like, this tastes like garbage because it's healthy. And you're doing all this really hard work and going really, really far. And I was like, wow, I'm going to be, everything is effortful. You have to get water and you got to boil it. And then you got to do this. And it's like, everything takes a million steps. And I was like, I am going to be so grateful when I sit down in, you know, a coffee shop was still open. So like I could go sit in a coffee shop when I got back and like go, I'll have a coffee, please. And it shows up, and I'll have an avocado toast for like $6 and it shows up, you know? And I was like, that is so good for someone to do. Maybe not go on a hunt, maybe find some other way, but ways to make yourself not have the things that you're used to having and make yourself have to work for it. You come out of that experience going, oh my God,
you're a stronger person. Yeah. And it, because of the gratitude, like then like I'll find myself in situations where, you know, I don't know. I can't even think of an example, but this will happen to you if you do things like that. You'll be in a situation where everybody's like, oh, I need water. Oh, have we eaten? We haven't eaten in like 3 hours. Oh, I'm famished. And you're just kind of like, oh, what's the problem here? Like, it just makes you like not like want for stuff as much, and not like be so needy about everything. And that makes you like a more resilient person. If there's no food on the shelves, and you've got some food stored up, and like you're just like, yeah, well, I'm good. Like everything's fine. I've been kind of like preparing for this because I'm used to being uncomfortable. So anyway, okay, we're out of time. It's been 30 minutes. Tell us about, you still have Fit for Real Life. Tell us all the stuff that you're doing. Give us the Kate update. That right.
Well, a quick rundown. Yeah. So still have Fit for Real Life, still have The Unbreakable Body. All of that is plodding along as I work to complete the project of The Unbreakable Body and get all of the individual pillar programs out so that people who just want to work on one part of their body can do that. That is going to take forever for me to finish it because everything does. And then I'm writing the book. That's the other reason everything takes forever. So I'm writing the book, and I'm a person who has to earn a living at my job at The Unbreakable Body. So I can't just go to a cabin for weeks on end. And like I heard the guy who wrote Game of Thrones is in a cabin now writing the last one.
No!
I better hurry up before he dies.
No, no, I'm mad at him and I will not stand for this. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
So I don't have luxury of that. So I've been like working my way through writing the book and finishing the pillar program so that people have individual ones they can get. And in the meantime, have had some other workshops and some things like that come out. But I don't know if this is live now or going out later. I have no idea. But I just love talking to you guys. I didn't care when it would come out. But I'm doing my summer hiatus on social media again this year that I did last year.
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, 6 weeks this year. It was phenomenal. Amazing. And everyone was like, oh, you had the time off? And I was like, no, I just wasn't posting on here, so you didn't know what I was doing.
That
was
that means you didn't do anything if you don't post about it.
Yeah, it doesn't count if you didn't put it. Your workout doesn't count if you don't put it on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm doing that again this summer, and I'll do some more big pushes on the book and the pillar programs for that.
Do you have a timeline on the book, or is it still just kind of like some point?
Again, time is a mystery.
What is time?
And, I mean, I'm glad it's not anywhere near done because I'm like, I wanted to tour. I wanted to not be famous and tour. Like I literally wanted to just go visit all my friends,
right,
like you guys.
Right.
And be like, hey, I'm coming to your town. Do you have like a library where we could do a talk or something?
Yep.
But like, when is that going to happen? I have no idea. So, I would say 2021 sometime.
If we don't all die,
we'll have you back on to promote the launch of the book.
I would love that. That would be amazing. Cool. But anyways, that's my latest update. Life is grand otherwise. Cause like people are like, how are you? And I'm like, I mean, good. Cause like the world's bizarre. I don't know. We all just need to survive it.
That's another throw pillow.
So I'm good.
Yeah. Awesome. Kate.
For people to be able to follow you, never mind. I'm an idiot. You just said you're not doing social media for the summer. So
it'll be starting in August, but then, if you want to come hang out, I'll be at The Unbreakable Body on Instagram and on the web. I'll be at Fit for Real Life on the web. I'll
Got
be at Kate Galliott on Instagram. Those are probably the easiest ones to jump off to everything else. So please come visit and hang out. And the Simply Human followers are always amazing because they're like, I love Simply Human. That's why I'm here. You're great. And I'm like, oh, you're so wonderful. Thank you. You have like the best audience in the whole wide world.
Oh, they're pretty great.
All four of them. We love them individually very, very much.
They're all in my room here. They've been listening live. My mom.
66% of them
children.
Are here right now on this call.
Awesome. All right. Well, Kate, this is like when we started doing the video thing, Rick and I put our heads together and we're like, okay, we need to, who can we have? Who would be good? Like video, like your name literally was like
the very first one. We're like, we need to have
Kate back on.
And I didn't even get to show you my new doll. Oh my God. I know we have to go. Hold
a new what?
I got a doll to show you.
Oh, cool.
That is cool. Her name is Demi, the demo doll. My student named her that. To show you guys all the different ways.
Oh my gosh. Did you make that like custom?
So I'm going to have to come back and do more time with Demi and show you all the different things about her.
That is amazing.
My body moves just exactly that same way, both forward and backwards, just like that.
I am, Kate, since we last talked, I am working on my black belt. So, I'm a high green belt, thank you. And I need to be able to do the splits. And so I got, it's like two, imagine three poles hanging from a hinge. Two outside poles are long, and then the middle one is short, and then you put that in between your legs, and you pull your leg, and I do PNF stuff where I'm flexing, and then I relax and pull a little farther, and I'm seeing some good results.
You can't be a black belt unless you can do the splits.
You just gotta get close. I've seen some of the other black belts. I'm like, my guy can't do the splits.
That doesn't count.
Yeah. But anyway, okay, Kate, you're awesome. We will talk to you soon. I'll email, text whenever this goes up. It'll probably be a week or two, and we'll talk to you soon.
I love you guys. It was good seeing you as always. I'll talk to you again soon.
Always great.
Bye.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Simply Human podcast.
I
cannot believe it's been that long. Okay, it definitely hasn't been 5 years since we've talked to her.
No. It's been 5 years since we recorded live at Paleo FX. We actually got to like hang out at Paleo FX. That was like, but I can't believe like we went out to eat and like it was just like that was. I can't believe it's been 5 years. So the tip of the week is, and we say this a lot, but find something that is uncomfortable to do consistently, not just one thing. And it could be fasting for more than a day, because that's like that's hard at first. But I guarantee you, like, if that second day, and you've done this, when you eat that, mm-hmm. Like, let's say you eat on Sunday and you don't eat again until Tuesday, that Tuesday meal It doesn't matter what it is. It's like the best meal of your life. Like,
yeah, it's pretty good.
You know, and that's what Kate was talking about. It's like it'll make you appreciate stuff more. You know, I always talk about cold showers. Like, just do that's why exercise, no matter what you do, things that you just kind of have to. If there's ever a thing in your life that you're like, I really don't want to do this right now, do that. Yes. There's another kind of philosophy where you'd say, like, take a cup. I haven't done this yet. But, like, take it outside and just, like a glass cup and drop it. And it'll break everywhere, right? You're going to have to clean it up. It's going to be a big mess, right? But, like, but that moment that you just have to go, like, that moment, like, turning the cold shower on is, like, what we're missing in our brains. So that's the tip of the week. We have we just booked a Monday night in November.
God.
Like we're not booked like everyone up until then, but it's just we got a lot of good guests coming on. I'm gonna get the video shows. So yeah, like us, subscribe on the YouTube channel if you haven't subscribed. Watch us on the YouTube channel. What else? Leave us a review on iTunes. What else can we say?
We really do need to get the iTunes review. Okay, that's going to be my project personally between now and the next time we record. So I'm going to figure out something. We need iTunes reviews. But we also, like, I want to make it fun. Because, like, one time we had one where, like, hey.
Ooh, what if we gave people, like, code words? They have to, like, put in.
Well, that's what we did. Okay, so people, we did an iTunes review drive one time.
But
kind of try to look at our numbers. And you had to put in butt or poop.
And then one person just put
and then
butt
we
poop.
Entered those people that did that into a contest to win a t-shirt. So
we'll do something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
Okay, and then so we're going to end the show and then hang out because I got to tell you what my needs.
I cannot.
All right. So that.
Free meal.
Sort of. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the Human Podcast.
And remember, within 10 seconds, I was like, God, what is that smell? And it was Mark.
So until next time, enjoy.